This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the Junks. We're live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next 5-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. It's 7 a.m. We're going to hit the skins. Commanders training camp news is brought to you by Paul Henry's Windows, PaulHenry'sWindows.com. Your clear home improvement choice. Roquan Smith requesting a trade from the Chicago Bears. Stud linebacker has 1 year left on his deal. He wants a new deal from the Bears. The Bears have new management in place. Apparently, they are way far apart in contract negotiations. He's made it clear that if the Bears aren't going to pony up, aren't going to pay him what he feels he's worth, he'd like to be traded.
Two-time second-team All-Pro in 2020 and 2021. He was a first-round pick, eighth pick overall in the 18 draft out of Georgia. And is he holding out or is he injured? What's his deal?
I don't know if he's doing the hold in.
I thought he might have been on the PUP, but I'd have to go back and check.
A lot of players are now doing what's known as the hold in, where they, if they're unhappy with their deal, they will still attend training camp and do individual drills, but won't participate in team drills.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if that's his approach at this point or not, but he feels disrespected and wants out of Chicago if they're not going to meet his contract demands. And as a Commanders fan, would you be intrigued by trading for Roquan Smith to upgrade an area of weakness linebacker for the Commanders?
Yeah, I see here he's on the PUP list.
So
I'm not sure for how long.
Here's the thing with Roquan Smith. In a utopian world where you have no salary cap and you don't have to worry about, you know, fitting a guy in and how much you're going to pay each player, and if you had an owner that was willing to spend freely, of course you would want to acquire Roquan Smith. He'd be an upgrade over anybody that you have currently on your roster. But the problem is, if you trade for him, one, you have to give up assets. Two, he's going to want a reworked deal to come here or wherever he winds up, probably in the neighborhood of $18 to $20 million per season. And are you really willing to do that with a player at a position that is now being de-emphasized across the league? Not only here, linebacker is kind of an out-of-vogue position in the NFL, kind of like running back is on offense. Like, yeah. Running backs now are viewed as, all right, we can get by with whatever. We're not going to spend high draft capital on running back. We're not going to pay huge free agent deals.
But you still need RBs. Good ones.
You do, but are you...
And he is a good one.
He is a good one, but are you willing to pay him the money he wants when you just drafted a linebacker in the first round in Jamin Davis 2 drafts ago?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you willing to do that? Some teams aren't.
That's a good question.
Some teams will do that. Some teams will just go for teams like the Rams. They don't care about the draft at this point. They care about acquiring veterans and making Super Bowl runs.
Yeah.
Like, that's the type of moves that they make.
But I think this is also just a stance that some players take that want a new contract, and they say, all right, you don't want to pay me, then I want out.
Right.
Debo Samuel did the same thing.
Sure.
And what did Debo Samuel get? He got a new contract.
Right. He got paid.
So it's just, maybe it's just player speak or agent speak because they haven't come to him with a new deal, and he's going to make $9.7 million this year in the final year of his deal.
Mm-hmm.
I would think if they really value him, they will get something done at some point if it's not you know, next couple weeks.
Right.
It'll be sometime during the season. I can't imagine they're just going to let him go if he's a two-time All-Pro, but we'll see.
He basically wrote an open letter, and some of his language is pretty strong. He said, quote, "Unfortunately, the new front office regime doesn't value me here. They've refused to negotiate in good faith. Every step of this journey has been, quote, take it or leave it." So it does. I mean, maybe that's just the Bears' first negotiating stance: play hardball, try to meet in the middle. I'm sure they're going to go back and forth, but it doesn't sound promising for him to get the deal he wants in Chicago.
We should welcome JP in.
JP is here.
JP is here.
I am.
Hello, JP. We were wondering if you were in an accident or something. We hadn't heard from you. Didn't get a text or a phone call. We always, you know.
Yep. I appreciate your concern.
All right. Well, we just didn't know.
I think it's alarm clock.
It's embarrassing.
Had an accident.
Well, yeah.
Are you mad
There's
at yourself?
There's no excuse.
Are you mad at yourself?
No. We just can't crack the code with our little one in terms of waking up.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
like
she
alarm
woke
clock.
Up 3 or 4 times in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I got up with her 3 times. And the last thing that I remember before hearing Drab's voice was telling my wife, can you just take her to Dylan's room? Because my older kids don't sleep with me during the middle of the week. So his room is empty.
So
his
wide
room
open,
is next.
Right?
And so if my alarm went off, which I know it did, I probably just turned it off real quick. But my wife wasn't in bed next to me to say,
to make
hey,
sure you got to get out of bed.
Right.
Time to go to work, cakes.
I don't know. I have no recollection of what happened. I have 3 alarms. I have one, we talked about this last week, like an old school, the radio turns on.
Yeah, that's what I have.
And then I have 2 on my phone. Don't remember any of it.
Mm.
And the wife was in a different room, so she has no clue that I was late to work.
Well, you're here.
So I apologize. It's embarrassing. I owe you guys breakfast.
Yum. We're going to have such a good breakfast
tomorrow.
I
was getting hungry, too.
As for Roquan Smith, this would be my stance on it. If the team has an honest assessment of their first-round pick, Jamin Davis, and their honest assessment is he's not going to work out, and they're probably not willing to admit that at this point after a year, but if deep down they know he's not the guy, and somehow you could get a Pro Bowler at linebacker,
mm-hmm. go out and get him.
Get him.
Do what you can.
As Cake said, the Rams do that sort of thing. If you want to be a contender, he's a guy who would improve your defense.
You would think. He's going to miss some time. He could miss regular season time because he's on the physically unable to perform list, but we'll see for how long. And I'm sure there's a bunch of teams that will be interested in him, but we have no idea.
The problem with acquiring him is he's going to make around $20 million a year or somewhere in that neighborhood.
Probably 17 so to 20, yeah.
You're going to pay him. Then you're going to still have to pay, like, is Daron Payne out of the mix? I'm guessing you're not going to pay him.
I can't imagine.
You've already paid Jonathan Allen. Montez Sweat's deal is going to be coming up soon. Are you going to pay Chase Young, too? Like where does it end? Like, you can't pay these guys top market money and keep pouring that sort of amount of resources into your defense. Especially if it's not, like, it better be a top 3 or 5 defense if you're spending that sort of money. And
they've
it hasn't
probably
been
already
close to that.
They've probably already decided on the defensive linemen who they want to come back and
right.
who they don't.
Sure.
It seems like they've decided to move on from Payne.
The reason they drafted a kid in the second round, a defensive line.
Right. Right. They have
you don't draft a kid in the second round to be a backup.
Right. They've got the succession plan in place.
Correct.
It appears so.
I mean, unless he's just not good, but that's why they drafted him.
But what if Daron Payne has a massive year in his contract year?
Then you're probably not going to afford him. Because you blew the window of signing him before he hits free agency. If he has a monstrous year, why is he going to want to stay?
He might not. He might want to test the free agency waters.
But although the defensive line coach is gone, maybe he does want to stay.
That's true. Sam Mills is gone now, so maybe it's a more attractive destination for him to re-sign.
Again, I would have to make an assessment of his team. Is Roquan Smith going to make you better? Yes, he'll make you better. Is Jamin Davis a guy that you can count on for the future? That we don't know. We have no clue. He was a bust as a rookie. Maybe they believe he's going to work out. But if they know, like sometimes you just know, if they know he's a bust and he's never really going to work out and he's never going to be on the field, then maybe it's worth making a move for somebody. And what I'd say, Cakes, is the guys that you're talking about down the road, Montez Sweat, Chase Young, yeah, when they initially had him, you're thinking, well, These are guys that we want to be part of our franchise for a decade. They're going to be difference makers. But let's say Chase Young comes back and is similar to last season. You sure you're going to want to pay him at the end of his deal?
No, I'm going to have a lot of reservations.
So
about
maybe don't
him.
Worry about Chase Young being up in 2 years or Montez Sweat being up in a year. Make those guys produce. And if you're going to play for the now, it is year three of Ron Rivera, and you're able to get Roquan Smith. It's a high price.
All right, but
it would improve your team.
But the top story of the day is Sam Mills being fired yesterday by Ron Rivera, defensive line coach. Been with him for 11 years. That's the top story. And we talked about it in the first couple segments of the show. It's known in those small circles that the defensive line did not like Sam Mills. Didn't like him.
The word you used was despise.
Some of them despise him.
Yeah, that's a pretty heavy word.
And I did get word from a well-placed source that said that Matt Ioannidis requested a trade last year because he did not want to play for Sam Mills.
Why? What did Sam Mills do?
We don't know. There's just personality clashes. Maybe they don't like the way he coaches. Maybe he's trying to change certain things in their mechanics. Who knows? I did also hear that there was an issue when Ryan Kerrigan was here in 2020. Ryan Kerrigan was told by Sam Mills to do something in a game. All right, switch it up, do this, this, and this. And when they looked at it on film post-game, Jack Del Rio grilled Kerrigan for doing it, and Sam Mills didn't step up and say, "Coach, that was my bad. I told Kerrigan to do that."
So he let Kerrigan take the bullets.
Correct.
Without him stepping up and saying,
"Correct.
Hey, Jack, that was my call. Don't
that,
yell.
That was
don't
me.
Yell,
I told him to do this.
Right,
but
don't
he
yell
didn't.
At Ryan. Yell at me instead.
But that's still a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one.
What
thing.
Happens in training camp where a guy gets fired?
That's a great question.
In the middle of training camp,
but it also that also sows seeds of distrust amongst the other players. Like other players are obviously in that meeting room when Kerrigan is getting chewed out by Jack and. And they know that Sam Mills has told Ryan to do something different than Jack.
And maybe that was brought up. Who knows?
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure it was.
Yeah, but they drafted a defensive lineman in Mathis this year. He doesn't know that history.
Yeah, but you think guys don't talk? Guys talk in the locker room. Guys know.
Yeah, the young rookie, guys, I don't think the young guys have a problem. It's the veterans.
Right.
It's the Chase Young. Well, not Chase Young is a veteran, but
it's the Allens,
it's the Allens, the Paynes, the Montez. Chase, it's all
obviously you mentioned Ioannidis.
Ioannidis, Tim Settle. Yeah. Ioannidis and Settle are gone.
But right. Why doesn't that happen the offseason then? Why does it happen
the question
in
I
the
asked.
Middle of training camp?
I don't know. Something had to have happened. We do know that Sam Mills Jr. was away for a week because his dad was inducted into the Hall of Fame. And apparently everything went swimmingly in practice.
Right. So they
for that week that he was gone. They loved it.
So they liked it.
And then
the
he comes back.
Yeah.
Back for a day. Mm-hmm. Players were like, nah, pump the brakes. Everything was good. Sam's got to go.
And Warren Sapp has been out of some of these practices. Now, I'm not saying he's going to have a full-time position with the team, but he's been overseeing the defensive line in some of these practices. Maybe the guys are gelling with him in the short-term basis than they have been with Mills over the years. Maybe the coaching staff saw Mills is gone. Hey, these guys are getting along better, and they're taking more to the teachings of Sapp. We know that Ryan Kerrigan is shadowing some of the coaches since he came back and signed a one-day contract and retired with the team. He's been closer with the team over the last month or so. Maybe those influences have been better than what they're seeing with Sam Mills.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said, you know what? We're going to be a better unit without Sam Mills as part of it. They've done those calculations and they've looked at what
but
the,
it's very,
the performance looks like.
It's just very interesting timing that a guy who was there last year on the staff had clashes with the players. Players didn't like him last year.
Right.
Ron knew it. Del Rio knew it. And they still decided to bring him back. And 2 weeks into camp, they decide can't do it anymore.
Ron's had some upheaval with his defensive staff this year. He certainly finds Jack Del Rio, right. 100 large.
Mm-hmm. Well, this defense, it better be a top 5 or 7 unit. Like, if it's 15th to 20th, I think Jack Del Rio is going to get the same meeting that Sam Mills got. If this isn't a top unit and it doesn't show massive improvement from last year, you think Jack Del Rio is going to survive into year four?
You think they have a shot to be a top 5 to 7 defense?
No, no.
I would be very surprised.
I don't think that's the case. But for Jack Del Rio's job security, it better be a borderline top 10 unit. If it's not, Ron's not going to keep putting up with shenanigans from Jack Del Rio, the off-the-field shenanigans that he's had to deal with. He's not going to keep continuing to deal with that. He's going to have Jack in for a meeting, and he's going to say, much like Sam Mills, your services are no longer needed here.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on and find a new defensive coordinator. They better show big improvement, or Jack's going to be next in line. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen during the season, but if it's a bad defensive year during the offseason, it's bye-bye, Jack Del Rio.
You wonder, though, going back to the first question about Roquan Smith, and I understand, like, fans, oh, bring him in. Not thinking about contract. You're not thinking about any of the repercussions if they actually did bring him in. But you wonder if Jack Del Rio feels that pressure and has the sway to lobby for guys.
Yeah, I don't know how much leverage Jack Del Rio has in the building right now. I'm guessing it's been lessened over the past couple of months. I think his status in the building has taken a hit.
Well, like because some of this off the field stuff.
He's on thinner ice than he's ever been before. Here in DC.
You might be right.
Especially if the defense turns in a clunker of a year.
How many coordinators get fined $100,000 by their head coach?
Not many.
I don't know of any.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure when Ron heard that, he's like, oh my God, Jack, what are you doing? You dumb MF-er. Can you just shut up?
Of course he said that.
And then he pulled him in the office, bro, I got to fine you.
Right.
And Sam Mills, same deal. Look, I love you. I hired you 11 years ago. You were my D-line coach in Carolina before I took the Washington
job. Love your pops.
Your pops was awesome. But Jonathan Allen doesn't like you.
Right. But our star players don't get along with you.
Chase doesn't even pay attention to you in practices and in team meetings. Doesn't pay attention to you.
Right.
Checks out. I got to let you go.
Right. Don't forget, coming up in just about an hour, we'll be joined by Kevin Cole. We'll talk more NFL and the fantasy with him from Pro Football
So
Focus.
We can talk some fantasy?
Oh, yeah. We can definitely do that. Of course we can talk fantasy.
I can't wait.
And Mike Rizzo from the Nats joins us coming up at 9 here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We'll get back into some football talk at 7:45. We'll talk some more Commanders there.
So I saw this story last night, and I sent it, and Cakes clicked on the wrong link.
I did.
And the story is about cereals that they're bringing back.
Correct.
General Mills is bringing back some classic cereals from the 80s.
And, yeah.
And we were talking about it during the break, and Jason says, well, what are the cereals? And Cakes goes, Trix. And I'm like, wait a second. They still sell Trix.
Yeah.
Like it never was gone.
Yeah, I was definitely questioning JP.
And then he says Golden Grahams. And I'm like, my wife does most of the shopping. I'm not completely versed on what cereals are there now and which ones went away from the 80s. But he says Golden Grahams. And I'm like, wait a second. I sent this article last night. I swear it was like Boo Berry and Count Chocula.
Sure.
And I can't remember the other two, but they were similar to Count Chocula and Boo Berry. And
Boo Berry.
Cake says Cocoa Puffs. I know they have Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. Maybe General Mills just maybe they just repopulate the story every couple of years, because I just went and typed in General Mills 80 cereals, and there's a story from September of 2020 how they reformulated the boxes JP's talking about. Golden Grahams, Trix, Cocoa Puffs, Cookie Crisp. Apparently they're doing it now like every two or three years. They're just going back to the original recipes and pouring more sugar in the boxes.
So they were taking sugar out over the last couple of years, and no one was buying them?
I think they probably suffered some sales hits when they're reformulating.
I always like Golden Grahams.
Sure, they're delicious.
Mm-hmm. I believe the four cereals that they're bringing back, maybe for a limited run,
yes,
are Count Chocula, Boo Berry, Frankenberry.
So good.
And then this is the one I've never heard of, Fruit Brute.
I've never heard of that.
There appears to be
ever.
A coyote okay. on the cover.
Hmm. Jerry Royce.
And it
on the
looks
cover?
A little bit like Apple Jacks.
All right.
I think Frankenberry, that's strawberry.
That's okay? correct. Yes.
Blueberry, obviously blueberry.
Yes.
Count chocolate. Maybe Fruit Brute is a little like Apple Jacks. I don't know, but it got me thinking, is there anything that you grew up with that they discontinued that you wish they had? Ooh. I definitely have two.
Are we talking strictly cereal?
Doesn't have to be just cereal.
It's a good question.
Mine is definitely a cookie. My favorite cookie growing up, and if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. It was one by, I believe, Keebler, and it was called Rich and Chips. And I don't know what happened to them.
Right,
they just went away.
They gone.
They were the best chocolate chip cookies, I think, that I ever had.
Could be. I don't remember the brand name. It couldn't have been wildly popular. I know it's.
I don't remember.
I know it's no Chips Ahoy.
Oh, it pummeled Chips Ahoy.
Cracking those out.
Why was it so much better than Chips Ahoy?
Just personal preference.
More chocolate chips in them. I don't
it
remember,
also Rich. Looks like it had, because I just Googled it, it looked like it had, so it had chocolate chips, but then it had, I don't know what you call these other kind of chips.
Well, they're butterscotch, they're probably butterscotch chips.
They were so good.
A snack that I have a hard time finding that I was fond of as a youth, Joe Bugles.
Bugles.
They're still out there.
But you have to search for them to yes. find. They're not easy to find.
You know that my mom was big into the Bugles for get-togethers.
Definitely had Bugles all the time.
We had Bugles, and I forget what dip she would
like
get.
Like me some Bugles.
I like Bugles.
But Rich and Chips, that was my go-to, and they discontinued the other one. And maybe this is still available. But see, to me, Chips Ahoy, they're too basic. I think Keebler then went from Rich and Chips to Chips Deluxe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those were money. I've never been into like the soft batch cookies. Like those seem like they have come and gone.
See, I think JP has a very low bar. Like I'm not the biggest fan of prepackaged store cookies. Like if I'm gonna digest the calories in a cookie, I want that Blicky to be homemade.
Right. And big. Or, about that big.
I want them to be either, yeah. Now you can buy the roll that you cut up and put on like a cookie sheet and bake them at home. Like to me, those are so far superior to anything out of a package from a store. I just think those are bottom of the barrel number
cookies.
No,
you're right. You're right.
Like those are like poverty cookies.
But
JP
I will say
is eating from the store.
I will say, and they're just addicting to me anyway, and they are bad for you, so you got to stay away from them.
Okay.
But, and I was always a huge fan of these growing up. The double stuff Oreos are just primo.
Those are delicious.
You know, and I tell my wife, don't buy them because I will crush the entire bag.
Very rarely have Oreos in the house. It's one of the few
gotta
things,
have double stuff.
It's one of the few things on the planet that I will pour a glass of cold milk.
Yes,
to have
gotta
along
have
with.
The milk. Correct.
Like you gotta have milk with it. Like I would also have milk with a fresh brownie, like a freshly baked brownie that's still warm out of the oven.
Uh-huh.
Delicious.
Yep.
Matt Valdez, he drinks milk like at every meal. Like he'll have like a T-bone steak with a baked potato and a big giant glass of milk. To wash
milk
it down.
Very tasty.
I had a PB&J yesterday for lunch with a big glass of milk.
I now
that
know why.
Seems to make sense.
I now know why I liked Rich and Chip's the best. And they might have been discontinued in 1980.
Right.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. So it had my go-to combo. It had peanut butter chips. So it had chocolate chips, and then it had some peanut butter chips. So it was basically a Reese's.
That sounds fantastic.
Which I love Reese's.
Well, I mean,
oh, they're peanut butter chips.
They've made Reese's forever, and they'll continue to make Reese's.
Correct.
All they're doing now is, for Reese's peanut butter cups, all they're doing now is just stuffing other ingredients into it. Like, okay, here's a Reese's cup, and now it's stuffed with Reese's pieces. And the newest twist, I have to try this. I think this sounds like a drab t-shirt concoction. They're stuffing, I believe, potato chips into your Reese's cups.
That is weird.
I haven't tried it yet, I am officially intrigued.
I've tried it. Mm-hmm. I saw it at like Five Below, and I was like, there's no chance this is good.
Right.
Let me try it out. And it was pretty damn good.
I mean, you're combining a delicious potato chip with a Reese's peanut
What kind cup. Of chip?
Like, it's just like a plain it's potato like chip.
It's a Lay's knockoff.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know it's, you can't go wrong with salty and sweet.
It's pretty damn good combo. It's pretty solid.
I don't pine for those cereals of the 80s. Mm-hmm. Booberry, Frankenberry, Count Chocolate. I've never been big into the, even though I love chocolate, I've never been big into the chocolate cereal game.
Yeah, I have been. And I'm a big time sucker around Halloween because that's when they usually roll out, obviously, those flavors. Because you got the Frankenberry, Frankenstein on the box. Booberry has a ghost. Count Chocula, it's a vampire. I'm a sucker for Halloween and for Halloween-themed cereals. Sign me up, especially if you're getting a deal at Harris Teeter. If it's like two boxes for $6, you think I'm not throwing a Booberry and a Count Chocula into my shopping cart? I am.
Hey, do you guys remember the bubble gum that came in a jug?
I don't. I remember bubble tape. I know bubble tape. I think that's still a thing. I don't remember...
It was a plastic jug that had little tiny pieces of gum and this powder. It was the tastiest thing as a kid.
I'm surprised you like something that comes in a jug. You love jugs so much. Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067.
I also say we bring back candy cigarettes. there's things that are so tasty.
You didn't puff on those as a kid, pretend you're smoking like a Marlboro Red. Of course you did. I did.
Speaking of cigs,
Steve, he had a few this morning. Steve, what's up?
Bring back Benson and Hedges.
Hey, Jokes, what's going on? Hey, Lurch, I think you should write Flame up for being late. I mean, why not?
Oh, yeah. Well,
go ahead and write him up. I do it all the time at work.
That's a given.
It doesn't have to be official. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he feels bad, but he'll be buying breakfast.
Oh, he's going to get a write-up tomorrow. He's going to write his name on a credit card slip for breakfast.
I would definitely put a couple Dos Equis in there on that breakfast and make sure you get your money for
That's
it.
That's your go-to Dos Equis?
Maybe a Bloody Mary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what do you think, Stephen Orange?
Like a double meat breakfast burrito and a cold Dos Equis for breakfast, I'm telling you. Anyway, hey, the Quisp, Q-U-I-S-P. Do y'all remember that cereal?
I do not.
Quisp?
What was that, the 50s? You're a little older than us, Steve.
I'm not that old. I'm like 2 years older than you guys.
Really?
Oh, man. That's it. That gap from 51 to 54 or 53 is quite big.
You guys are old. I'm 58, okay?
It almost looks like mac and cheese in this picture.
I don't remember Quisp.
Who is this goofy guy?
You don't remember Quisp?
No.
They were little spaceships. Like, they tasted sort of like Captain Crunch, but they were like little spaceships, and it was like a little saucer.
Yeah.
And it held the milk. It held the milk in the cereal. So when you ate it, you got the milk in the cereal.
It's a Quaker product.
Yeah.
I'm not big on Quaker cereals.
I mean, Steve, it was introduced in 1965 and stayed until the late 70s. We were a little bit before our time, but I appreciate the call.
I really miss that. I just wanted y'all to know. If you say you were talking about missing certain.
You get a box on Amazon for $9.99.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I'm not paying all that money that way.
Anyway. All right, Stevie.
Good old Stephen Orange.
He loves Dos Equis and Marlboro Lights for breakfast from the sound of it.
With that the side voice. Of Quisp cereal.
Let's go to Matt in Stafford with the elbow pain, throwing the ball to Allen Robinson. What's up, Matt? Good morning.
Hey. Hey, always nice to hear from Steve from Orange. I'm glad he's still at it. And hey, how about Josta? Remember, Coca-Cola made it, had a Black Panther on the cover, and it had like guarana in it. It was the first like hybrid energy drink. And we used to slam them and just go create mischief in the neighborhood. Does anybody recall that?
I do not recall that. I don't recall the first energy drink.
I remember Jolt.
I remember Jolt Cola. I think they still produce it. I think if you go to like a convenience store, like gas station convenience store, you can find a Jolt Cola. Though I'm sure it's been muscled out by the thousands of energy drinks that Drab T-shirt and Bodie buy on a daily basis. We should have gotten in on the energy drink game back in the mid-2000s.
In hindsight, there was probably not even that much caffeine in a Jolt, but it just seemed like it would rock your world.
Right, it's like a radical concept.
I think they said it was like double a regular soda.
Right.
That's nothing.
Yeah, I'm sure it's nothing for you guys.
That's kids play.
Did you guys ever get a suicide drink?
Don't even know what that is.
Suicide is when you go to the fountain machine and you get every single flavor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that was the
technology
name. But,
yeah. It's so stupid.
That's a terrible name.
Well, it has
I would just call that garbage.
Has to taste terrible. If you're combining Diet Pepsi,
Sprite, cherries,
Mountain Dew, root
beer,
Orange Crush, or Fanta. Like, you can't have all those things. It's gross. Let's go to Brandon in Waldorf. What's up, Brandon? You're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
What's up?
For me, I'm a little younger than you guys, so for me, the cereal would have been Smurf Berry Crunch. The snack that I have a hard time finding that I least love was Big League Chew. And as far as Cakes was talking about the Bugles, you find those all day at 7-Eleven.
Really?
Everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And, also, if I can add one, take it a little further. For me, I'd love to see the reemergence of a Chesapeake Bay Seafood House.
That's a good old Shakey's,
right?
How old, Brandon? You got to be like 50 to 54, I would guess, somewhere in that range. Like,
no, 44 just got a good appetite.
Okay, so you're a little bit younger than us. But
he said Smurfberry,
Smurfberry Crunch.
I never had that. Yeah. Is that just? It's probably just like the blueberry, right?
Blueberry hybrid,
sort of like Tricks, but it had the Smurfs on there, and it turned the milk blue or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. I can't remember.
I'm not a bit like I always felt like Tricks.
Thank you, Brandon.
Fruit Loops to me is better than Trix.
Right.
But they're essentially the same.
Pretty much. Pretty much the same. Let's sneak in John. What's up, John? Good morning. You're on with the Junks.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Hey, I got a left turn for you. Pop Rocks.
Those are garbage.
Those are ones that just like make sound and
crackle in your mouth.
Yeah, they popped in your
what
mouth.
Does it taste like? I forgot. Yeah,
it'd be
it
like
wasn't that
cherry
good.
Or lime.
Just sugar.
Like
candy.
Yeah,
it was just sugar that popped in your mouth.
And you put them in your mouth and you drink
then
the
your
soda.
Heart popped.
Fun Dip, way greater than Pop Rocks. I used to get Fun Dip all the time as a kid at the pool, like the pool snack bar. You got your sugar stick and you dip it in it was colored sugar. You had green sugar, you had red sugar.
Yes.
And it was the best. Maybe
the
blue
stick,
sugar,
the
too.
The stick was the best part.
I don't know.
Sugary stick.
I think all of the sugars were the best part. But look, to each his own.
Pass the
sugar.
Pass it.
Pass it along. If the recent sweltering temps are any indication, there's plenty of hot, humid, sticky summer weather still left on the docket. Is your home's cooling system up for the long game? If you're not sure, then make the call to the 5-star cooling experts at Crop Metcalf. Schedule a $69 cooling check with the pros at Crop Metcalf and punch out whatever this steamy summer's got left to throw at you. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit CropMetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician and proud partner of the Washington Nationals. Welcome back to the show, Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're kind of soft-selling the fact that we have a pair of third-row tickets to go see OAR at Merriweather Post Pavilion. We'll give those away before the 9 o'clock hour is done. We'll give those away in the next hour and 15 minutes or so. So keep listening for your chance to win third-row tickets to see our friends OAR at Merriweather.
We played an uber successful Name That OIR tune yesterday.
Yes, we did. It was super successful.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it's going to go in the Radio Hall of Fame. Yeah,
we might do it again. You never
just
know.
It just
this
is.
Town worked out. We played This Town, but that's a mega hit.
What we wanted to touch on here is the hype surrounding Jahan Dotson, the number one pick of the Commanders in this most recent NFL draft. Is it starting to get out of control, the hype surrounding him? This is from Logan Paulson, former NFL tight end. He's been a guest on this show many times. He was recently...
Who's a film nerd, by the way.
Film nerd, knows film as good or better than anybody. You trust his opinion. He was on the Al Galdi podcast on Friday, and he said Jahan Dotson is the best wide receiver on the team right now. The best overall. Better than Terry McLaurin. Better than Curtis Samuel. Better than anybody else currently on the roster. Are you starting to buy into this?
I don't think anybody's surprised that anybody says he's better than Samuel. All right, I could see that.
Right.
But better than McLaurin, that's kind of a surprise.
And he says it. Look, I would tend to believe it was just bluster, except it's coming from Logan Paulson. So Logan, right. I did the pregame with him for a year. I know he's a film nerd. He does a ton of shows for Commanders Television.
Right.
He doesn't just say stuff to make noise. He's not a clickbait type of guy.
No.
He's looking at the film. He's going to practice, and he's seeing that Jahan Dotson is making the bigger plays. He went on to say, I'm sure people would have expected me to say Terry. And I don't have any slight against Terry. I think he's been quiet. I think he's had a big catch the first day on a post. But in terms of big plays and manufacturing big plays, the guy that has been at the forefront of that is Jahan.
And
if you're a Commanders fan, you got to love hearing this.
Certainly. And he goes on to say, and this perks up the ears of fantasy football nerds like myself, like Jason, like a lot of the listeners. I think Dotson understands route running nuance at a very high level, and he can win. He scored a couple of touchdowns in the red zone the other day. Every single day, he makes some type of explosive play. That is a feature of his usage. That's a key word, his usage, and that is a big deal. That is a big feature of how the staff uses him. That and his versatility, the fact that he can play outside, he can play in the slot, he can move all over the place. He's ready to play from day one. That was the whole part of the reason he was selected so high, and the fact that they must have loved him because they allowed the Saints to come up and draft Chris Olave with the 11th pick. They went back to 16, got multiple picks, still got the guy they wanted, and at least the early returns are very positive.
Heard that Wentz has a better rapport with him.
Right.
Now, part of that is because McLaurin was holding out, and they didn't get to work together in the OTAs. So he's worked more with Jahan Dotson. But if you're a Commanders fan, I think you got to be fired up about that.
Sure.
Now, I wonder, are you buying it? Or do you think it is just kind of preseason bluster and hype, and he's got to prove it to you during the regular season? Because a lot of times you will get hype on different players. It's happened so many times over the years during the preseason, and then there's nothing in the regular season.
I will say this. I don't know if Dotson's better than McLaurin. We know McLaurin's good.
Right.
We do know that.
No, he's very good.
So if someone's saying that Dotson's better, obviously that's very good for the Commanders' offense. But when these two kids coming out of college, there's a huge difference, because when McLaurin was in college at Ohio State, he was mainly their third receiver.
Right. He didn't get Paris, a lot of pub.
Paris Campbell was the number one.
Yep.
At Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
JT Barrett was thrown to Paris Campbell.
Right, and he's a pro. He just had a hard time staying healthy.
KJ Hill was the number two.
Mm-hmm.
McLaurin wasn't featured in the passing game that much. He had a total of 35 catches his senior year, or junior year, I guess. But Dotson was the number one for probably 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was much more featured. If you look at the college stats between Dotson and McLaurin, it's not even close. So I'm not saying he's better than McLaurin. I'm just saying coming out of college, he had a lot more catches coming out of college than McLaurin did. And McLaurin, I'm not sure he was facing the top corners of opposing teams like Dotson.
And that's what impresses me.
But
about
he has
Dotson.
In the pros.
Oh, of course. I'm sorry.
In the pros, he's been facing
but
the
I'm
top
saying
guys.
Dotson, we haven't seen Dotson in the pros yet. So yeah, you can only base his numbers out of college. And he's probably had triple the catches that McLaurin had.
But what impressed me about Dotson, especially in college, is that everybody game planned against him. Everybody knew he was the top threat for Penn State.
Yeah, he still
and
beat him.
They couldn't stop him.
Yeah.
He couldn't be stopped. I mean, I saw him eviscerate the Terps defense in person in College Park.
Yep.
Just last season.
Well, he had a big game against Ohio State, too.
I left the stadium.
Now, Ohio State's defense wasn't great last year.
I left the stadium as he was scoring his third touchdown because I had seen enough of what he was doing to that defense. Now, can he do it against pro defenses? That is obviously the question. You know, who was it that was on the show a day or two ago that said all they would do with Dotson is just try to jam him up at the line because he's not the biggest, doesn't have the biggest frame.
Right.
Going to try to slow him down out of his breaks. You know, will that work in the pros? I don't know. Does he have moves to combat that in the pro level? I'm sure he's worked on it. We'll see how it translates.
And you wonder if what is going on in training camp does translate to the regular season, because if you look at what Logan said, he does kind of couch it. In the end, he says, I don't want people to misquote me. He's been more productive than Terry in camp. I think that is something to consider. It's important. It's a metric. So does thriving in camp translate to thriving in the regular season? But you have to love it if you're a Commanders fan. There really has been nothing negative about Jahan Dotson from any beat reporter, anybody who's been following them every day in training camp. It's all positive on Jahan Dotson. Well,
correct.
What has this offense sorely lacked over the last few years? Big explosive plays.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he says every single day he makes some type of explosive play, that tells me that when Scott Turner is dialing up the long ball or dialing up big chunk plays, Dotson's going to be one of the numbers that's going to be called.
Yeah.
Like he's not just
now
gonna,
you've got two legit options.
He's not just going to be this guy that's working underneath and working the short stuff. Like he's got 4.39 speed?
Yep.
Like he's got sub 4.4 speed. He's going to be taking some big chunks out of the defense, I think.
Well, they need him to hit because Jamin Davis didn't hit last year.
Right.
They need Jahan Dotson to hit big time.
Absolutely. And you're asking, am I buying what Logan Paulson and others are selling? The answer is a resounding yes.
Yeah, that helps.
I am a buyer.
That helps you because
I am a buyer. I'm in the buyer's
market. You think he's
going
over the total and all those season totals?
I think he is because I think Scott Turner, this is just my opinion. I don't know this. I think Scott Turner is trying to drag Ron Rivera reluctantly into 21st century football. Because Ron was part of the 85
Bears.
He's
old school, yeah.
He's an old school guy. Probably, you know, favors the running game. I think Scott Turner is probably just trying to get into his head. You're not going to win a bunch of 13-10 games in 2022.
Mm.
Like we have this new toy. Let's utilize him. Let's take advantage of all the features.
They can't average 20 points a game. They've got to be in that mid-20 range.
I've said it 2 months ago. This is a team that has to score 25-ish minimum points per game.
Correct.
If you want to be taken seriously and contend for a playoff spot in 2022, score 25 points per
game. Well, look, we went through the quarterbacks. I think this was last week. Went through the quarterbacks who threw at least 30 touchdowns last year. I think there were 9 of them. Well, 7 of the 9 went to the playoffs.
Right.
So Carson Wentz, I'm not saying he has to be at 30 touchdowns, but he's got to be close. And that would equal points scored. So if you think that this team's a playoff team, they've got to be in the mid-20s in points scored, unless the defense is going to be like lights out,
right,
which we don't really expect. And he's got to be close to the 30 touchdown pass.
Don't forget, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour at 8:20, we'll be joined by Kevin Cole.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.